Bang. Hello, welcome back to another Muscle in the Hustle podcast. I don't know why I have my arms in the air. It's rejoicing.
You come around like you just don't care. Woo, 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 woo. You know who was in the Whistling Donkey this week?
Me.
You weren't?
No, I'm in this Saturday.
Yeah, do you know who was in last Saturday? My mum and sister.
Oh, were they? Were they at Mike Fleetwood? Upstairs?
Yeah, they were.
I heard it was
they
good.
And my mum ran about the whole night fucking asking everybody where you were, so
because my picture would have been on the screens for this week.
There you go.
Imagine your mum would have come in, you'd have been raging. Hey, we'd have went in the rip. I'd end up in your house party.
You would have just been playing her tunes. If you didn't to play her tunes, you'd be cracking up.
No, I'm in this week, back to the mighty Whistling Donkey.
There you go. Hard bit. Well, will it be this week though? It'll be two days ago.
There you go. 3 days.
So if you were planning on going this week, don't, because are you there the next week?
No, I'm not back then to the start of July.
There you go. So July, you'll have missed it if you haven't.
July in Uri, or we're on tour in Newcastle, will be the next closest. Maybe in Carlingford soon. You never know. We're taking over. The Tyrone Colchies are taking over. Shout out to the Armagh boys who were giving me playful abuse at the Tyrone match on Saturday. These are good crack lads.
There you go. There's at least somebody's taking well, right? So we didn't really have any topics, but I think a really good
we have one question, but we'll save it. This is actually from my cousin, who I didn't realise was my cousin, because she's under a different name on Instagram, but I don't recognise the picture. Hello, guys. Really enjoying the podcast. I've listened to all of them. That's nice. It was interesting to hear Foss and Tony on night shift working. So she tells us, actually. I'm working as an intensive care sister, working two nights, 2 weeks out of a month. What's your thoughts? And she must be getting, because I think she's joined the gym. She's trying to be a wee bit fitter. Guys, you're amazing. The podcast has helped me so much in my daily life and been able to overcome so many difficulties. I'm pretty sure she works on Great Ormond Street. She works in one of the big hospitals in London. I know that much.
Well, I've had great results with people that do night shifts, but I'm going to be blunt. Well, you see, like my coach won't take on people that does night shifts. So there is a large variance in terms of the result you can get. It really, in my honest opinion, depends how you manage it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes down to routines, rituals, habits, and behaviors coming off nights. So, like, for example, like whenever I used to come off the fire service, I had an eye mask, I had blackout blinds, and the days I'm on nights, I just ran through as normal. And then whenever I was switching back from, the way you go from that awkward period
of crossover
days, that's where you need to figure out a routine that suits you. So that could be coming home for a 3-hour nap, then up, and then getting back into routine. The main thing is that you keep your sleep 7.5 hours per night.
Yeah.
The main issue is that when people start working nights, they start sleeping a lot less and start living off like caffeine.
Well, I did that this weekend. On Saturday morning, I get home at 5 a.m. It was bright, sunrise would happen. Sunday morning, same again. It was 5:30, and then Monday morning was 6:05, and I am still really finding it tough today, and then hay fever hit.
Your circadian rhythm is your body's rhythm for sleep.
Yeah.
And it's regulated by sunlight and darkness. So like when you're going to sleep, you're supposed to, like, this is the reason why, like, I use the Lumi sunrise clock.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to wake with light, not just sound. It's light, and you're supposed to go to sleep with darkness, like that. That's the reason you get tired naturally, as it gets a bit later in the day. That's the reason why when you go outside in the mornings, you wake up quicker.
Do you believe in the... I was listening to something, some boy was talking about sleep, and he said that the harsh alarm sounds, it's really bad to be startled out of sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're supposed to be waking slow and steady. Like, that's why the Lumi, for example, like, it slowly dials up volume, there's relaxed tones.
Yeah.
It's like the iPhone alarm, like... Really good example is to see when I said the iPhone alarm or the alarm clock.
Yeah,
gives me anxiety.
Yeah, it's like very harsh. Like that. It's scary. It scares me when that goes off. Sometimes you jump. Yeah,
so I don't use that one. I use different ones. But see, whenever I hear somebody like set an alarm for cooking and they use that or something, it actually like it triggers. Like everybody will know this. It like makes you feel like, oh, fuck. Because usually when you're setting them sort of alarms, they're like, I have to get up at this moment. It's not like I'm getting up at 6, I have work at 8. It's like, I'm getting up at 7 because I have work at 8 and this is my last alarm.
Yeah, it's
the sound that you familiarize, it's like a fire alarm sound. You only familiarize that with fire alarms, so it makes you go into straight away into fight or flight.
Aye, like a siren as well. When you hear a siren, yeah, and you're driving your car, you hear a siren straight away. You're kind of looking in your mirrors going, where can I pull in to let this pass?
Bingo, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, cortisol sort of highest in the mornings. Like, I mean, you were talking about, you know, the 90-minute club with caffeine. That's personal preference, Joe.
Yeah.
I prefer to wait. I get a far better day, like, with energy whenever I wait with my caffeine, but each their own. But regardless, like, when you wake up and you're into that stress response straight away, it's definitely not healthy. But, like, I'm going to be honest, you see the amount I aged as an individual during my 2 to 3 years firefighting, working nights. It's just not healthy. Like, it isn't. And don't get me wrong, I understand that's part of the job, but from a health perspective, like, if my coach won't actually even take people on from a physique perspective because he says it's that much of a hindrance now.
Yeah.
It shows you now. I still have loads of nurses get unreal results. So it probably depends on the level you want to go. Like, he mainly coaches competitors, but.
Oh, well, hers would be, it would just be like.
Yeah, in general.
Every day fitness, health wise.
And I actually really enjoyed working nights because you got your days. Like, see, whenever you come off the final night and you've got like, you've got more time than everyone else. You end up with more, like, it just feels good. But
would you say it would be good if you're working nights? Because you know, it monitors your recovery.
What's this?
Do you think a whoop would be good if you worked nights? You know, like.
I don't rate any of them things.
See, I think the whoop's got very good now in the last while.
I find all that overkill.
You know, but I mean, like, if.
Me, I'm data freak.
Aye, but you know, like, I'm just talking from a recovery standpoint. You know, hey, some people come off nights and train straight away when they finish their shift.
Yeah.
But then other. I've listened to coaches go, well, that's just absolutely pointless. No, you're like, you're definitely not giving your all to your training. And then you're going home and you're probably not even eating. You maybe just sleeping straight away. So you're hindering, yeah. you're literally giving you're putting in so much effort to train, but it's probably not as much effort as you think you're putting in because you're tired. And then you're not fueling yourself at all. So you're starting, yeah. It's not optimal whatsoever, but the guy was talking was like, it's just like, I know you have to do this because if you don't do it, you're going to go home and sleep, and then after you wake up, you're probably not going to want to train.
Yeah, like, definitely. See, the thing is, all you need then is a set of rules where, like,
yeah,
you train, it's having rules for yourself. So, for example, like, on this day in between my nights, I do this. After my final night, I train, but I eat within an hour after and I go to bed. It's setting rules and standards for yourself in every area. So, like, I used to come off nights and be like, right, no matter what, even if I feel like I can't sleep, I'm going to bed with the eye mask on. I'm going to lie there until I get to sleep because otherwise I'm just shooting myself in the foot. And for me, it's just having a set of rules and standards. So when I work nights and I'm knackered, I still hit my protein and my calories, but, you know, the food quality is not as good. Or you turn around and go, look, when I'm working nights, I don't train. I just nail food. And then that way, you know, you're setting a standard. It's like, you see a lot of people set the rule of like, look, you're allowed one bad meal, but never two in a row. You're allowed to miss 2 days of workouts, but never three. It's just setting yourself a standard that you uphold yourself to. And then them habits, routines, behavior, standards, they end up making you who you are and the shape you become. Because like, when I look at the shape that I'm in year round, it's because I always hold key values. So like, I might not track every single day of the year when I'm not dieting or not, right? But I always hit, see every day, I always hit like, I always had a handful of fruit, like 2 to 3 fruit for the day. I'll have 5 veg minimum, and I'll have protein with most meals. And like, see, as long as you're doing that, you're gonna stay in somewhat of good shape.
Yeah,
and like, then even if I never tracked again, like I have protein each meal, I had decent veg intake, and I had a wee bit of fruit. Like, you're naturally gonna like fill up more of the. It's just these healthy habits for. For that individual with nights, I think it's a very tricky dilemma, but it goes for everybody the same with like people who work 9 to 6s and then come off. It's knowing, right, well, I'm always knackered after work and I can't be arsed going to the gym. So then set yourself the standard of getting up early and don't be, I was going to say a pussy, but.
Well, like I've noticed there for that weekend was a rough one because it was a lot of miles, a lot of gigs. I noticed my diet was pretty bad the weekend, so I didn't check in with my coach. Sorry, Alan. But I told you it was going to be shocking. But I know that's just jogged in my mind the old me when I was really tired after DJing and stuff, I would have made poor food choices. Whereas it feels like that's that crept back in, whereas I'd done well keeping that out and unknowingly, like just literally when you were talking, clicked. We're thinking, that was my issue before. I used to let that, I used to almost use that as an excuse or a crutch, you know?
See, the thing is, it's like that video I put up the other day with the yogurt. It's like,
yeah,
your foundation is your sleep and your stress.
No, we're back. It was a wee bit of a little technical difficulty.
Technical difficulty.
Marbella Wi-Fi is just not playing ball at the moment. But, yeah, you are. That's the thing. There was somebody.
I'm a roommate, so it could be him streaming or something.
Oh, have you a roommate now, boy?
Shamey, he's a friend. He's from Dubai.
Seen him. A big unit.
He's only supposed to be over for 3 days or 4 days. Sorry. He only booked 3 days and he was supposed to extend with the person, but they done him dirty. They told him he could extend. They told him it. They didn't take it off Airbnb. Somebody overbooked him and he fucked out this morning and he texted me going, look, I'm stuck. Can I come around for a couple of hours? And I just was like, look, I have a spare bedroom. You can just take it for a couple of days. I would never see anyone stuck like that.
No,
so shite, and that's so like, Joe, you know what? That's so easy done on both people's behalf. So like, it's one of them things where I'm like, that is 100% going to happen to me at some stage. And I, Joe, you know what I imagine? You imagine the stress of waking up and going, I have to be out of here for 11. I have nowhere to go. I have no flight booked. I have fuck all. It's just, whereas then somebody just goes, yeah, just call around to me. It's just that crap. Please.
It happened to me in Sydney in 2008, 2009. I was working, came back to the hostel, had the hostel paid for another 2 weeks, and came back and walked through reception. I seen a backpack sitting there, and I had to go, fuck, I'd look like my backpack. Came up to the reception, the boy goes, well, man, what's the crack? And I said, what's going on? He goes, nobody give you a ring? And I was like, no, why? And he goes, your room's been taken over by new people. All the boys in your room's kicked out, including you. And I was like, how the fuck did I get kicked out? I've been working all day. And they were like, dunno. He goes, they were fucking about on the roof at the roof bar earlier and you all got booted out. So they booted you out too. Did your mates not tell you? And I was like, no. And he goes, they're fucking steaming. Like, they're probably in the bar. And I was like, right, this was 11:30 at night. And he goes, yeah, man, I don't know what to tell you. So rang a couple of hostels, all booked out, literally nowhere to go. And text one of them baits that I was just started working. When he was working 2 days, text him and I was like, here, man, is there any hostels that you know of? Like, Google's not coming up anything that has anything. And he's like, fuck that. He goes, just come round to my house.
Pulls you out of a hole.
I was at his wedding fucking, what?
A month ago. Time you were so stressed.
Yeah, like, I didn't know where to go. Like, I literally was going to be on the street.
You're just lingering about. You're going to a fucking 24-hour Starbucks, man.
Yeah. I was in Bondi Beach. I was literally standing at Bondi Beach going, well, there we go, boys. Quinster is going to be lying on the beach. It's going to be a story. And then Chris texts back and goes, fuck that. He goes, just come here. And then ended up me and him fucking travel the world together then afterwards. But
we were talking about habits, routines and that with that nature. I think this is a good topic and we can start it and we might need to finish it in the next one. But I think this is a good one. I was hearing about this earlier. I was watching and it was like why people become grumpy as they're older. And I found this a very interesting thing. And apparently this person was, I forget his name. I mean, he was like a happiness expert. I was listening to him. He was on the Stephen Bartlett one. And he's pretty highlighting, because I was listening to, is travel good for you or is it bad for you? Joe, trying to get different perspectives because everybody says, oh, travel's great and it's good. And then I was like, why do people say that though? And why do people not love home more whenever I love home? And whenever I went and researched it a wee bit, I found that they're saying the reason sometimes people get fed up is because there's no spontaneity. There's no spontaneous action whenever you're at home. You eat the same lunches, the same dinners. And the funny thing is, like, when you think about it, when are you most excited at home? When you go for a little break, when you go to a new restaurant, when you try something new. So there's something in our body that the dopamine releases whenever we do something new with excitement.
Yeah.
And as you become older, the reason people become grumpy, apparently one of the main factors is because you become even more and more and more routine-based. And apparently this is one of the reasons why time feels faster for people as they get older. It's not just to do with the fact of your life becomes a smaller percentage of your life, you know, like whenever you're 60, 1 year is 160th versus when you're 10, 1 year is 110th. So it feels like a longer time period. That's one of the hypotheses around that. But the actual theory they say is whenever every day is the same, they start to roll it. Weeks roll into months, months roll into years, and years roll into decades very fast. And whenever you travel, you're forced to do things new. Like you're forced into new. Like where do you shop? Tesco, Marks and Spencer. Probably same place last 4 years.
Yeah.
So you don't go, I'm going to just shop here this week. And if you do, it's a nice mix-up. Like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but seeing when I was dad and I went from shopping in Tesco to Marksies to somewhere else,
yeah,
you almost are like, oh, that's new, that's different. And it makes you excited for dinner and then it adds quality to your life. Now, that sounds ridiculous, but...
Yeah, but it's like, do you ever go into your parents' house or go into your parents and, like, break their routine somehow by, like, changing the TV while they're out of the room and then your mum or dad walk in the room and go, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
it's EastEnders time, or it's like the news is on, or the Nolan show's on, or like you leave on the hot water switch an extra 20 minutes just to make sure the shower's hot, and then your dad's like, it only takes 20 minutes, and you're like, well, I'm giving it half an hour, and it just winds them completely up because it's when you get stuck in that routine, anything that changes it is unsettling. It's like. I kind of felt a wee bit that coming. I got very routine based coming out of lockdown, and I think a lot of people did. And then, like, it was as if we forgot how to like act in the real world when we came out a wee bit, you know, because you were used to doing the same thing day in, day out, and trying to you're kind of keeping routine to keep yourself half sane. But then when the doors open, everybody could go back out. You were almost a wee bit hesitant to do like things that you would have done without even thinking. Because your routine got so, like a lot of people flourished in lockdown, and a lot of people realized shit was wrong in their life during lockdown, and a lot of people got a routine, and they kind of kept up some of their routine. Like a lot of people took up walking, took up running. A lot of people never rejoined gyms because they took up podcasting 178 weeks later. But other people like didn't rejoin gyms because they realized that, you know what, they love training at home. I'm just running. You know, a routine is one of those things, as you says, as you get older. But as you get older, I think routine's very important for older generation because...
I think routine's important in general.
But I think it's even more important because it's something that they can almost depend on. Because once you get to a certain age, you start realizing that, like, it's bad to say this, but your friends are dying. You know, your family's getting older and getting, like, your kids.
Yeah, everybody's down.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like, if you know, like, we can go through, like, our school class, and most people can go through, like, their fifth-year class or their uni first-year class, and the chances are most of them probably, hopefully, be still alive. But if your parents went through the same, there's starting to be a drop-off. Because, like, I went out to my football club for the first time on Saturday in maybe 10 years. I literally hadn't been out there in 10 years. And I was walking through, and some of them older men, that they just seemed a lot older to me now. And they were stopping me, we were talking about football, and they were like, would you not come back out? And I'm like, I'm 38 years old now. And they, in their heads, they thought I was young Quinn, because of my dad, I was always being young Quinn. And even they were like, Jesus Christ, is that what age? They were like, I remember when you were not under 16. Because, you know, time has a way of getting away from it. And before you know it, then if people start disappearing, then you start feeling really old. So routine, I think, becomes so important because it's something that, most people's parents or grandparents or whatever have their 7 o'clock tea ritual or their 9 o'clock tea ritual. And they look forward to that old cup of tea. And if somebody comes into the house or someone that comes around and Kayleigh's around the house or whatever on a Sunday, like a neighbour comes around, they start looking forward to them wee things. Even more so, rather than you come to a certain point in your life when you're young, you're like, who the fuck's out at the door? You know, why are they knocking on our door? Why are they walking? You know, but when they're getting older, they're kind of like, they're expecting that person to come at the same time. And if they come at the different time, then it's like, oh, Jesus, I wasn't. 3 o'clock's dinner time. 3 o'clock's not neighbors coming to call at the house time. And I noticed that a lot more. Like the routine becomes a lot more important because of the. Something to look forward to and something to depend on rather than something that, like, me and you need routine because we're pretty, like it's like we need a routine or we'd be probably working too much, doing too much, like, headless chicken shit like just work, whereas, as you said, you do the gym at this time, you take your coffee 90 minutes after waking, and you do this, and if you didn't have them things set in place, you would probably end up just burning the midnight oil too much.
The routine, I believe, is very good whenever you're like trying to build a business build your physique or have a stable life. But see, when you were trying to have enjoyment and excitement,
yeah,
it's not. So it's having a routine that you can fall back to. Do you know?
Yeah. Well, control spaniere or spaniere is yeah, the like, thing. Like,
do you know what I always used to write in my weekly diary, like my weekly sort of to-do list and like planner. One thing that I really look forward to, and one thing that's outside the normal, usually they ended up being the same thing, which is very interesting because none of it was in my routine. Now, there's things in my routine I love. Like, I love getting up, and I love waiting and then having that. I love having that first cup of coffee. Like, I think a lot of people relate to that.
Yeah.
Just that, that is a beautiful, that we would have, especially with the heat in Ireland at the moment, that little bit of sun, that cut, that's just a good vibe, that's good energy, or you really look forward to a meal eat every day. Like, all that's great, that's what you want.
Yeah.
But I always noticed, like, right, that instead of us going for a walk in Restrepo this week to my family, let's go to Sina Valley. And it was such a small change.
Yeah.
But it just adds to the experience. Like, I just feel like, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with keeping a good thing good, but there's nothing wrong with changing up here and there. And I feel like we all get caught too much in that routine thing, and then time passes quicker. Whereas I do notice, see, the more I travel,
yeah,
the more time slows down. Like, I just notice that when I go away, the days and the weeks don't roll as long as I'm not moving all the time. But do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Do you think that's because when you're away, you're being kept on your toes a wee bit more because you're out of, your safety more. Net? You're out of your, yeah. No, at the end of the day, when you're at home, your home is your safe place. For everybody, everybody's home is their safe place. Everybody's bed is their safe place. But when you're away in a different country, you're almost more alert and more, you feel every minute, you feel every hour. You're as if you cherish the time more. So it feels like a lot, like a week's holidays. A week's holidays feel like a week. Yeah, it feels like, there we go, oh, that week flew. But it didn't fly as much as the week at home. The weeks, like it fucking feels like last week was Christmas. It feels like yesterday was Easter. It feels like Paddy's Day was the other day. You know what I mean? But you know, we're almost halfway through the year, and that's mad to think.
It's fucking bonkers. Like
we're almost halfway through the year. That is just insane to think.
I think as well, like a lot of people don't realize, like, how quickly things are moving, like how fast these really are going. Like you don't realize until you have a look at it and you're like, holy fuck, it has been 5 months this year. What has changed? What has improved? What have I made better? And a lot of the time, not a whole lot, and it can be frustrating then, but it can motivate you then. Like, time is the one thing that you don't get back. And you know yourself, it's one of them ones where you can really just let it fucking run away from you so easily.
But like,
so.
But if you were doing your goals, like if you'd done your goals at Christmas or New Year's or whatever, like if you're listening to this now, you should probably do an audit on them goals to see how you're doing and see if you haven't hit them or you're not even close to them. You can still get onto them now, even ones you forgot about. Like, you've still got piles of time this year. Like, you're realizing, oh, geez, we're 6 months in, we're 5.5 months in. You know, as long as, like, as long as this time in 5.5 months time, if you give it any sort of effort, you'll be happy enough. But you don't want to be in that place if you start looking at it again come Christmas and going, Jesus Christ, I didn't do any of that stuff. You know, I didn't do that. You know, say if you want to, I don't know, for instance, you want to run a marathon, but you haven't started training for it, why not go for a run tomorrow? Or, well, tomorrow, Tuesday, when you listen to this. You know, it's never too late to start anything or, well, it's, and then, you know, like people, like I'm just thinking now, when I started my training, cutting for the summer or whatever, yeah, I'm probably way behind schedule, but I'm not gonna worry me, like, because it's what's in the past is in the past, it can't be fixed. But now that it's in my head, I'll make a concerned effort to not look at this in 4 weeks time or 5 weeks time and go, well, there's another 4 weeks splurged that I could have made good changes in my body or good changes in my physique. But so, yeah, that's, no, like,
I think it's an interesting one because I feel like a lot of people, really fucking shoot themselves in the foot, because you don't fucking, you don't think about it. You don't think, right, well, how am I going to mix things up? And
yeah,
that sounds a bit odd and a bit much at times, but I do think it's really important to sort of keep that in mind for going forward, because it's just so easy to get caught in routine, and then one fucking day rolls into the next, and it's so fucking, and then I think it's interesting, because I've been looking it up, and to see that sort of where people are saying, it actually makes people unhappy long term with them realizing.
Yeah, it happens to, I was listening to some Premier League footballer was talking about it on TalkSport a couple of, and he said that he was fine when the season was on, but when the season was over, he really struggled with mental health issues, drink, addictions, gambling. But he goes, it was the void that the training and the prep and the recovery and the matches left in his life. And he's like we went away on holidays, we had everything to do, and we could have done anything. But he goes, once I stopped the training, and clearly that was down to routine as well, he goes, I had to fill that gap, and it goes, the easiest way to fill it was with vices. And he just struggled, and he struggled all his career, and he never told people until he was well retired, and he came out and just said, this is what I was doing the whole time when I was playing Premiership football.
Yeah, that's wiper, isn't it?
But I noticed there's GA boys I got that don't know what to do when the season's over. Like, they fucking lose their minds. They don't know what to be at. Some of them are smart enough, like they get away to America if they can, if they still have time, or they do go on holidays, they do stuff. But a lot of the time, when the season's end, they're straight into uni, and then they go off the rails for a bit, and then they're back in, because the off season's not that long. Most of the time now, it's like 2 months maximum for most teams. Some boys don't even get time off. But in that 2 month period, like, a lot of them don't know what to be at, because they're getting so engulfed in the season, getting so engulfed in their training, and people are taking it real serious now, from lowest divisions to the top divisions, they're taking it so serious. And then as soon as it ends, they just don't know what to do with themselves. Some of them just plough on through and still go into another preseason, but that's not the answer either. You know, it's almost counterproductive to...
I think it's getting the balance.
Getting balance. Like, I hate the word balance, because... balance sometimes, for me, people that are successful mostly don't have balance until they actually be really successful and they're happy where they are. Like, if someone said to me, do I think like someone like Stephen Bartlett has balance in his life? I would say no, because the amount of content he does, the amount of speaking engagements, the amount of traveling, the amount of everything he does, I don't think he can have balance. I don't think James Smith would. I think he tries to look like he has loads of balance, but he also, the output of the content he does and the amount of stuff he does, I can't see how he has that much actual balance. Unless, of course, somebody else is doing all the run of his companies for him.
It depends. If you're pushing something, even if you're pushing physique, or you're pushing anything like that, like when you're pushing that...
Even when you're training, you don't have balance.
Yeah, like, Joe, it's... Yeah, you lean in. It's like even the start of a relationship, for example, like you always lean in more, and then over time, lean in. Yeah, as much as people don't want to fucking admit that, like, it's one of the things where that is sort of the truth for where it is. Like, it's one of the ones where...
Yeah, you start giving
more at the start, and then it eases off because you've invested so much. It's like, it's a lot harder to gain muscle than it is to keep it. It's a lot harder to, lean in and build a business than it is to maintain it. As much as people say it's still tough work, it's not the same. Like, it's a lot easier to maintain. So it's one of the ones where I feel like even it is balancing routine and the long-term excitement. So, like, that's where I find, like, I got that really nice balance where I was like, right, one thing has to be it. And we would mix things up. And I actually felt like it really added a high quality to my life. So just that's sort of like your take home for the week. But like,
would you look for a balance? Like, I think I know the answer to this. Would you look for a balance period after a big push period?
Yeah, absolutely. Pushes and stabilizes, I call them. I call them push and then.
Yeah.
I call them pulls. I don't think that's like
a... I call it push and then... taking the foot off the pedal. No, just
like person is stabilized. Yeah. You know, there's times to person, there's times to fucking try and have a bit more of a fucking life to an extent. So I think it is that balancing game. Yeah.
And I think that's good. I think that's good in every... I think if people take that kind of... You know, for you to earn the balance time and earn the good times, you know, you need to have a period of and a period of discomfort that you put yourself through means the period that you can go have a life. It's like, who was it said it? I meant to send this to you, Tony. It was a guy said, everybody wants to have the six pack. Everybody wants to be the beach person. And everybody wants that their physique. But nobody's, not many's willing to put in the actual effort to do it. He goes, it's not that hard, but he goes, it just takes a lot of effort. And he goes, sadly, even though you want it, you don't want the effort and you don't want it. It was, they were talking about people taking steroids and they would rather people make up excuses going, oh, well, he's juiced to the gills. And there he goes, but it simply comes down to you're looking to make excuses why you don't look like that. But the excuse is you're not willing to put in the same amount of effort he's put in. And that's the simple fact of it. And I was thinking to myself, that is actually really true. Most people can become really good at most tasks, but are you willing to put in the effort to like learn a new language or learn a new skill or get ripped to shit or get built like a shithouse? Or, you know, there's a reason there's certain people are better footballers than others, and most of the time it comes down to they put in so much effort in their training and their recovery and their nutrition. Are you willing to put in that effort? You know, there's like Conor Mayer always springs to mind, like when he went away to America last year and went around to all them top strength conditioning coaches to just to get a wee nitbit of all of them. I'm like, when was the last time I've seen a GA boy willing to go and do that out of his own pocket? And you're like, that's maybe the difference. And everybody has that in them, that they just need that wee bit of extra effort. Like there's DJs there that I know that have never practiced in their lives, and you can tell. But there's young boys coming through now that practice hours every day, and some of them are mind-blowingly good. And that's just right down to they just put in constant effort to be better, and they want it so much, and they want it more. Like singers want it more, and they practice, and they write songs. And then you got other singers who just are happy to take gigs, but they're also unhappy when they see other people at their level make it, and then they're wondering, fuck, how'd that girl make it? How'd that boy get that played in the radio? It's because they're churning. They're working hard behind closed doors, which you don't see them writing and learning and pushing. But it's easier for you to make excuses and go, oh, they must have paid someone for that, or they're just lucky, or they know somebody. Like, it's hard for you just to go, you know what? Hands up, fair play. They earned that.
I think when you earn something, though, it just like tastes like, for example, like after all of that, and I don't think food's ever tasted as good for me. Work really hard, there's not more than a better night's sleep. You know, whenever you work really hard for something that pays off, it sort of feels like.
Yeah, well, I was told I was getting that Radio 1 song. My song played, See Your Face, played in Radio 1. All I had to do was pay a boy, and I was getting that played, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it wouldn't have felt right. And his words to me was, just what everybody does. And I was like, well, I can't because I haven't earned that. And he goes, but technically you have. But he goes, you have no chance of getting a play if these playlisters don't get their cut. And I just can't do that. Like, and it's my dream for the Radio 1 thing, but I just can't do it that way. I just cannot do it. It wouldn't feel right. You know, it would look good, but it wouldn't feel right to me because that's the thing that I said I was going to earn. But in his words was like, they'll never look at your songs because you aren't, you know, your name's not there. So any of them people that are at your level that's getting played are paying for the song to be played because the playlister just needs to be rub of the green there. But I couldn't bring myself, like, it wasn't a major amount of money. Like, it was a neat wee pie, like, but it wasn't major. But I just couldn't, it wouldn't have felt right. I couldn't have celebrated it.
It also comes down to saving money as well. Like, a lot of that comes down to what your mom and dad made, what you made, what you see. But like, for example, like, I make really good money, but whenever I buy food in Dubai, it's dear, and I don't mean to. I don't look at the price of anything. But whenever I go up and I pay for it, and I'm like, chicken and rice was 15 quid in Tupperware, and I'm like, that's quite dear for a gym mate. Joe, you're like it's all just like, it doesn't, I'm not gonna be like, oh my god.
But that's because you have awareness. You're like
that.
Oh, that's
very cute.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
It's like a, It's probably a safety mechanism. Like, it's probably it's a good and a bad thing. But like, I feel like that's all built off. Like, my family's not exactly like a high income, so like,
yeah,
you look at the price of things, but you also go like, right, well, how much of a markup is on that? It's like, if somebody's charged you £8 for a cup of coffee, like, and it's just black coffee, you'd be like, fuck,
that's a business mind in you too, as well. Yeah, like, you're analytical and you're going, oh, that was $8.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Because some people would never, like, I don't look at the price of stuff, but when I see it on the, like, on the till or on the screen, I'll go, oh, that's what that costs now.
Yeah.
But, like, and then I'll go, fuck. And then I'll, like, I'll notice, or you fill your car up and you go, oh, and then you look up and go, Jesus, diesel's come down. Or, Jesus, diesel's went up again. You know what I mean? You'll notice that there. But there's some people can, like, I'm thinking of one person in particular, can float through life and not have a notion what's in their bank account. And that it's nice if that, it's not even like they're not rich or nothing, but they have that freedom where they don't worry about finances because they're not at a point in their life of worrying about finances. But it's also an easy way if they're a spender that you can spend beyond your means and then someday tap your card and go insufficient funds. You know, if you're a spender, it can get out of hand. But also, if you're not money driven or spent driven, you don't spend. It's a nice way to be where you're just like, yeah, I'm just happy with what I've got and I don't overspend and never seem to be in financial difficulties, even though they might have a normal job earning a good wage.
That's like everything, Joe. You set your standards, your routines, your habits, like we were saying, and then they just set out what happens. It's like you just become a repercussion of it.
Whereas I know businessmen that do their balance sheets every single week, and I know boys that do it every 90 days. And they would look at the boy doing it every week and go, that would send my fucking head away. But then the boy that does it every week says to me, I will never go beyond my means in a business. Everything is balanced at all times. I'll never let it go unbalanced. So he goes, that's why I'm very reactive in business. And he goes, I know it's weird to do it that way. But he goes, you can get into a problem day one. After 90 days, that problem is intensified. The most I'll ever be in a problem is 7 days. And he goes, I'll fix it.
Yeah, fuck, mate, I'm not even lying. I'm fucking...
He's falling asleep. Crew.
Yeah, because that's the first time in that whole 40 minutes I semi was like, oh, fuck, I've closed my eyes.
Is it my dulcet tones, as your mum would say?
Not your dulcet tones. No, that's exactly what I was trying not to come across. I was like, I don't want to ask you to repeat that because I was like, I'd rather actually dive into that in more detail and follow through on it next week.
I'm addicted to Game of Thrones. That's my ending.
Very, very good.
I'm
very good.
Fully addicted.
Well, you've not seen it before?
Never. I'm wild addicted to it.
What's the best series you've seen apart from it?
American Office, probably.
American Office, superb. Anything else?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Huh?
The Office, it's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't count it as a series because it's like...
I don't know. What do you call it? The Yellowstone. Succession, Yellowstone. Good. Very good.
Apparently Sopranos is quite good. I haven't seen it.
I need to watch it again. I watched it when I was really young. I need to watch it again. And it's like fucking 20 seasons.
Game of Thrones is up there though. It's so good, man. So good.
I'm on the end of season two now.
I'm trying to get a good series. I just can't get one.
Have you watched Succession?
No, it was good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You need to watch it. Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Right. There we go.
Right, guys, keep rating, reviewing, keep sharing. Any questions, hit us up.
Thank you for tuning in. For tuning in. Everybody who messaged me or Mickey over the last week, and give us some topics because we're dry.
Give us some topics. We are dry as the street here in Bangor. It's dry. Right? See you later. Bye-bye.